Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our gospel reading from the third chapter of St. Matthew, with an emphasis on these words. John would have prevented Jesus, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. I remember once when I was a college student and I had just gotten out of class and was looking forward to the weekend. I was excited to run to the bank and withdraw some cash for a night out with friends, but as I went to the ATM and I put my PIN in as usual, I looked at my account and I realized that something was terribly wrong. And by terribly wrong, I mean terribly awesome. Somehow, through some sort of clerical error, someone had affixed an extra zero at the end of my available funds. And I may be exaggerating a little here, but certainly the amount was far more than I reckoned I had at that time. My first instinct, as it would be for many of us, was to withdraw it all and take the money and run, as it were. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, right? But then, as I sat there, and as the gentleman behind me in line began to graciously lay on his car horn, because it had now been 5 minutes that I was staring at the screen trying to figure out what in the world had happened, my better senses began to prevail. I realized that if I didn't somehow correct this error, that it would only be a matter of time before the bank would. And then, of course, there's also the whole Seventh Commandment issue to be worried about in situations like this. So, with reason upon me, I decided to park my car and walk inside the bank and confront the teller with the problem. We came to find out that my campus library job had posted my most recent payment twice for this pay cycle, which it turned out was quite easily rectifiable. They just made a simple call to my college's payroll, and presto fixo, I was a poor college student once again. I have to admit, though, as I talked to the teller and as I heard the transaction conspire, I kind of hoped in the back of my head that they would somehow let me keep a portion of the extra funds since I was being so very honest and genuine. But it turns out the old saying is true in this and in many cases. There's no such thing as free money, or really free anything for that matter, not unless someone else is paying for it so that you can enjoy it. And that's what brings us to our text, the conundrum of our text for today from Matthew chapter 3. Here we see a transaction which is even stranger than the one that I just shared with you. When we come to the baptism of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, there are a couple of oddities present in the text that we must address before we can understand the goodness that is being communicated to us by this wonderful reading. The first and the most glaring of these things is the one that John the Baptist himself identified when he said to Jesus the words that I just had you recall, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you now come to me?" And from a theological standpoint, we have to admit John makes a very, very valid point. Here is the holy, sinless Son of God, and in this moment, he means to enter into the River Jordan to participate in a Jewish cleanliness ritual, which he himself has no need of. For Jesus, washing in these sin-tarnished waters would only leave him dirtier than when he entered them. John, on his part, recognizing that he is unfit to wash God, would instead have God wash him. This might sound kind of familiar to you, especially if you were here at the 10:30 service last week. John has a very good Lutheran understanding of holy baptism. Or maybe Lutherans just have a good understanding of what John was talking about. You see, instead, Jesus presents him with the second challenge in our text. He says to him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." These are kind of puzzling words if we don't know what he means. Jesus is saying that when he comes to the Jordan to be made ritually clean, he is not doing so for the same reason that the other people who received John's baptism were there on that day. The Christ would, as we said, have no need for a baptism of repentance. What does the Christ have to repent of? Rather, as Jesus enters the waters, he does so to fulfill all righteousness, meaning that he accomplishes the very purpose for which this baptism of repentance exists. All through John's ministry, his disciples came to him to repent of their sins and to present themselves as a people washed and ready for the coming of the Messiah. And as they did so, those sins which they confessed, which they repented of, were washed from them, and they were left to stagnate there in those baptismal waters. That is, until the Christ would come. So now, when Jesus is washed in those same sin-tarnished waters, a wonderful transaction takes place. Jesus dons the sin of all those baptized people onto his own person. Here is a switch far more blessed and far more exciting than finding a few measly extra dollars in your bank account. Jesus Christ in the Jordan River stands in solidarity with sinners, and he does so as their sin bearer. As they repent of their sins, God makes his people sinless by becoming himself sinful. This is not free money, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. This is far better. This is what we just sang about. This is free grace. Their repentance having led them to the Christ, he now enters into the river to fulfill the express purpose of their repentance, to present for himself a people clean before God the Father. And Jesus accomplishes this by having dirtied himself for their sake. And so, righteousness, as he says, is fulfilled. These people, a people who were poor in righteousness, received the full bounty of Christ's righteousness, and now they themselves are given a new identity, as Pastor Edwards said. They are called righteous for his sake. It is as though their accounts were being filled to the brim while Jesus' account was being emptied. In his baptism, Jesus foots the bill for salvation, and he accomplishes the very baptism that John gave him. In fact, so profound, so glorious was this strange transaction that the heavens themselves opened up to give witness to the mighty work being accomplished before the sight of John and those who were gathered to witness. When Jesus was baptized, the text reads, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God the Father, who sent his only begotten Son to be the sin bearer for us, rests his Holy Spirit upon him in this moment. And in so doing, he shows the unity of the Trinity, set in their purpose to impart free grace to all mankind. So set is the Father in this purpose that he opens his mouth to speak the very last words that we hear from him to his people Israel. Now, this is not to say that the Father does not speak again in the New Testament. We hear his voice on the Mount of Transfiguration as he talks to the priesthood, to Jesus' disciples. Later, in John chapter 12, we hear him speak directly to Jesus when he prays, "Father, glorify your name." But what's kind of interesting about this text is this is the very last words that we hear from God the Father to his people Israel. So what's the very last thing that he has to say to them. He says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Father hands over the reins to God the Son. It is as though he is saying, "I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt, who gave you my law, who made you my people, who preserved you in exile, and now I give you my very Son to reveal the salvation I have planned for you. Dear Israel, listen to him." It says the author of the epistle to the Hebrews reminds us, "In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." Parentheses, only by his Son. The baptism of Jesus marks the turning point in the salvific narrative. For now, God no longer makes himself known through observance to the law, through ritual and covenantal rites, but instead in the work of Jesus Christ on behalf of sinful humanity. Today, our Lord still makes himself known in the waters of holy baptism, where that blessed exchange we've been talking about is granted to a whole new generation of believers, a new people who, washed and ready, present themselves clean before God the Father. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when you were brought to the waters of your baptism, it was this very same Jesus who took on the sin of the people at the Jordan, who took on your sin and gave you his forgiveness. You have been made a participant in this transaction. You have been given free grace by your Lord. You have confessed your sins. You have made repentance. And now, this Christ has taken on your flesh, your sin, and your death. This is your half of the transaction. And now, by virtue of his baptism, he gives you his name, his forgiveness, and his life. That is his part of the transaction. When John the Baptist reflects later on the Christ in St. John's account of the gospel, he says, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And so, dear baptized believers, let this be your baptismal faith. Let this be your confidence in the face of sin and death, that all righteousness is fulfilled by the Christ, that the Father loves him. And so, by virtue of that love, he now loves you, his own dear children. For it is in his hand that you rest secure. That because the Christ has accomplished the purpose for which the Father sent him, because he took your sin onto himself, because he suffered and died on Calvary's cross, you, baptized into his name, are now made a participant, an inheritor of everlasting life. This strange transaction, this most blessed exchange, brings you free grace, courtesy of him who knew no sin and still took on your sin. In his baptism in the Jordan, Christ Jesus became a sinner for you. In his most blessed name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.